Oh, man. This is the most exciting thing I've seen since Halley's Comet collided with the moon.
That never happened, Dad.
Sure it didn't.
TGIF, it's Manson Mitchell with Gary Manson, Suzanne Mitchell. A double shot of good conversation with great guests to jumpstart your weekend. Manson Mitchell, you're on the air.
Thank you, Eric Kramer. Hi, everybody. I'm Gary Mance, and Suzanne Mitchell will be along shortly. She's working on a technical glitch, and when she has that mastered, she will join us. In the meantime, it is our privilege once again to be working with bad boy Benny Mathers at the board, our producer. Benny, how are you today?
I'm doing awesome, Gary. Thanks for joining the show. Finally, we got you started a little bit late. That's all right. We're going to move forward, and a happy early Easter to you, sir, and Suzanne.
And the same to you, sir.
Thank you.
And to your lovely family.
Thank you.
Easter weekend, always very special. Today we're going to have a guest on who is quite familiar to our listeners. He is, as I like to say, a fan favorite. Christopher Renstrom joins us. He is a renowned astrologer. He is the author of The Cosmic Calendar and Ruling Planets, and the creator of RulingPlanets.com. He currently writes the daily horoscopes for the San Francisco Chronicle and SFGate.com, along with the weekly horoscope for Astrology Hub. Mr. Renstrom also lectures on the history of astrology in America from pre-revolution to modern times and runs Ruling Planet workshops around the country. I have to smile when I say Mr. Renstrom also lectures, because he never sounds like he's lecturing people. He's informing people, and always in a very entertaining and insightful way. So for the 29th time, we welcome Christopher Renstrom to the Manson Mitchell Show. Christopher, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Gary, and happy Mercury Retrograde Ahead of Time Day. I don't know if Mercury turns retrograde on April Fool's Day, so it's going to be a hell of an April Fool's Day, and it looks like we started a bit early.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you know, and as you can explain far better than myself, that when it comes to communications, Mercury becomes a trickster during a retrograde phase, it seems like.
Absolutely. He just has all sorts of fun by making you look for your keys, your wallet, your watch, your passwords. Mercury is the planet of communication and messaging, and also basically day-to-day technology in astrology. So during the time that it's retrograde, which is April 1st to April 25th, retrograde refers to an apparent backwards motion. You can expect things like technical glitches, phones not working, computer going on the fritz, you want to check out your car, coffee maker, all those sorts of day-to-day conveniences that make our life move easily. Mercury has a fondness for throwing a monkey wrench into our best laid plans during this period of time. So it's always good to keep your sense of humor handy.
Absolutely. And let me follow up a bit, Christopher, because if Mercury does these things, is there a why involved? Because I can see it as a correlation. We hear people say, you know, we're in a Mercury retrograde. That's become commonplace, actually. But have you ever stopped to think, why does it happen during these periods, three and maybe even four times a year?
Well, it happened, right, because Mercury's orbit is the closest to the sun of all the planets. So Mercury will complete its orbit faster than the other planets will. And yes, about three times a year, it turns retrograde. Basically, all the planets, with the exception of the sun and moon, and the sun and moon are regarded as planets in astrology, even though we don't regard them as planets astronomically, all planets will go into a retrograde period or a retrograde phase. And it's a phase when the planet looks like it's moving backwards in the sky, if you were to look at it in the nighttime sky. And it's really based on the orbit of the Earth and an optical illusion. But anyway, it is said during the time that a planet is retrograde that it acts contrary to its nature. So Mercury, being named after the Greek god, or the Roman god rather, of communication and also buying and selling, the Latin root of Mercury is merc, where we get merchandise, merchant, and mercantile. Okay, those are the things in which you have to watch out for, whether you're purchasing something that's a dud, you got something from offthebackofthetruck.com, you know, it turns out to be a lemon. And these are things that people have really noticed increase and pick up during the time that Mercury is retrograde. So it's more than just an urban myth. It's something that really happens so many times in people's lives. In fact, Gary, that's why it's become commonplace, which is what you referred to earlier.
One of the things that I have found to be occasionally true in my life, Christopher, is that people from the past, and, you know, depending on who we're talking about, it would be lovely if it happened every time, but I have found that people from my past, maybe decades in the past, spin forward into the present, and it's an opportunity to catch up, to express love, and to resolve issues. Like, the past is revisited in the present during these periods. I've had it happen in startling ways before, though I have to say it's been many years since I've experienced that, but those were memorable occasions.
Yeah, and because Mercury is named after the Roman god of messages, that's, you know, you can hear from someone from the past and be like, oh my goodness, you know, you're on Facebook or you're texting me or you're in town. What are you doing in town? You know, and so it gives you a wonderful opportunity to backtrack, which is always what you do in a Mercury retrograde. We backtrack, for instance, when we lose our glasses or our wallet. We're like, okay, where was I lost? And, you know, so during a Mercury retrograde, you backtrack and you get back in touch with someone from the past, and that's one of the most delightful occurrences that can take place during a Mercury retrograde.
It's true, and that was the case with me on several occasions, especially for some reason. I seem to experience a lot of that back in the 90s there, so I'm not sure when the last time was, but it feels like it was quite a while ago. I also wanted to ask you, now, April 1, okay, God's got a sense of humor. On April Fool's Day, we're going to have Mercury retrograde begin. And it's going to take up most of the month. April is going to be quite the month coming up. Maybe you could give us a general survey of what we can expect starting April 1. And then, of course, it's not like, and I was told this a long time ago, Christopher, when Mercury is no longer retrograde, it's not like it stops on a dime. There is right. A shadow period, a phasing out, if you will. So pretty much, you know, we're going to be dealing with various issues during the entire month of April. Is that not true?
Yes, it's a very busy sky this April. It's a very, very busy and a very dramatic sky, because not only do we have the Mercury retrograde on April 1st, we also have a visible solar eclipse in the zodiac sign of Aries on April 8th. And that will be visible in North America. And the shadow, in fact, goes through a majority of states here in the United States of America. So that will also be very dramatic. And so because we had a previous version where we could see it, you know, last spring, but it hasn't been this dramatic since the August of 2017, that solar eclipse, which was very powerful. And solar eclipses are a big deal, both visibly, if you happen to be able to see it, if the solar eclipse is happening in a part of the world where it's going to be visible for you. It's not only dramatic visibly, but it's also dramatic astrologically, because in a sense, what happens when the moon comes in front of the sky, when the moon comes in front of the sun and blocks its light in the sky, you have this kind of surge of energy that comes through that astrological sign in which the eclipse is taking place. So people probably are already experiencing it. You usually experience it in the 2 weeks running up to the eclipse. And so all of those Aries qualities, urgency, immediacy, aggressiveness, maybe even anger, frustration, you know, like all of that comes surging through everyone's horoscopes at the same time on April 8th. But if you feel like it's already sort of started, that's because eclipses usually start about 2 weeks prior to the actual eclipse event.
Hello, Christopher. Can you hear me this morning?
I can hear you, and I've been waiting to hear you. It's
well, I'm calling from the moon. That's why.
I'm Gary, up here on the moon, and I'm looking to eclipse the sun.
Gary, join me in studio. I think we are back up and running again.
You are fabulously, wonderfully back up and running again.
This is my time. I have your book, The Cosmic Calendar, and I am an Aries, April birthday. And so, you know, I know this is my time. This is the time for me to start some new things.
You've got it.
And everything has been going in that direction, looking very positive. What, yeah. And you started to answer, and I don't know if you finished, about the eclipse, because that was one of the things we were particularly interested in, is the effect that the eclipse has on the various signs, especially when I have the eclipse in my sun sign.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
I heard you say surge of energy. Does that mean I'm going to get that surge of energy as an Aries?
You're going to feel it. Absolutely.
Okay. But I imagine everybody's going to feel it to one extent or another.
No, actually, certain signs are much more sensitive to the eclipse than other signs are. For instance, earlier we were talking about a Mercury retrograde, right?
Right.
Mercury is a planet, and the planet Mercury rules two zodiac signs, which are Gemini and Virgo. So if you're Gemini or Virgo, you always feel a Mercury retrograde, okay, regardless of whatever sign Mercury's retrograde in. With eclipses, if you're born under the moon or the sun, like if you're a Cancer or Leo, you also feel the eclipse whenever that takes place, regardless of the sign that it occurs in. So the eclipse will be very impactful for Aries, but it will also be very powerful for the fire signs, Leo and Sagittarius.
Sagittarius,
And it will be seen as a supportive or helpful energy with the air signs, Gemini and Aquarius, although Libra will struggle with it. The earth and the water signs are kind of like, you know, they're not really going to be impacted as powerfully as the other ones will be. Maybe Capricorn and maybe Cancer. Actually, Capricorn and Cancer, because of the square nature. But if you're like Virgo, or if you're like Taurus, or if you're Scorpio or Pisces, the impact of the eclipse may not be as dramatic on you as it would be on the other signs.
Now, it sounded like you were saying something positive about the fire signs, with the eclipse happening in the fire signs. And what does that mean? Does that mean like more energy or more things working out or less heavy?
A really good idea would be like, let's say you're talking on a microphone, the microphone's not really working, right? Okay. And you're kind of like, why isn't this microphone? And everyone, and the audience is like, we can't hear you. We can't hear you. And it's like, can you hear me now? No, we can't hear you. All of a sudden the microphone's on and you're like, can you hear me? And they're on, yes. That's what happens with an eclipse. It suddenly takes energy and it, you know, it flips it up to like up on the dial. And so when I talk about a surge, it's not like, oh, a breeze, you know, it's kind of like a gale wind, you know, coming on through, and it surges and it blows through certain horoscopes really quite powerfully, where it's like, oh, you know, all of a sudden it's like, it's coming right on through.
Well, I am glad to hear that, because I've had plenty of fatigue periods in the last year. But I feel like that this Aries time is going to be very positive for me. And that's been in evidence for a couple of days.
And, which is wonderful. You just have to remember the Mercury retrograde.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's in most of April.
It's what?
It's most of April, from the 1st to about the 24th. So it's taking up most of my birthday month. And that I don't appreciate.
Well, the thing is, certainly, I mean, the way that we understand Mercury retrogrades in popular culture is that, oh, you know, don't sign anything, don't buy or sell anything, it's impossible. Well, you have to go on with your life. What happens during a Mercury retrograde, even though they can be irritating and annoying, is they also make you more resourceful and inventive. You know, you become more creative as the problems pop up. And it can actually, sometimes Mercury in very unexpected ways can show you different approaches and alternative directions that you could take with something. So if you kind of like embrace the playful spirit of the Mercury retrograde, it can actually be a very stimulating and a very effective period of time.
In Suzanne's case, this ought to be particularly intriguing because she, her sun sign is Aries and her moon sign is Sagittarius.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't need any extra coffee, Suzanne, for the month.
That's good. That's good. I'm just drinking water today.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that we really like to do when you're on are read the horoscopes that you have written for the day and let you comment if there's something that really stands out or piques your interest. And Gary, that falls under your purview. So do you want to read a few before we go to break?
Yes, yes. I'd love to get started on these. Every time Christopher Renstrom joins us, we read his horoscopes. We find it opportune to do so. So listen up and we will start with Aries. Friday, March 29, 2024. Aries, you keep avoiding an old friend because you don't want them to see that something's amiss. But don't worry, they already know. Taurus, apologize for your part in a feud, and the other party will apologize too. Two wrongs won't make a right, but two sorries will. And let's move on to Gemini. You thought you were signing on for one thing, but now it's turned into something else. Nevertheless, this misstep could lead to the adventure of a lifetime. And I'm going to read through Cancer, and then we'll stop and chat a little bit here. Cancer, be audacious about broadcasting your accomplishments. More bravado on your part is the perfect thing to get superiors to take notice. Well, we are off and running with the horoscopes, Christopher Renstrom. How interesting. You keep avoiding an old friend. You're saying to Aries, you keep avoiding an old friend because you don't want them to see that something's amiss, but don't worry, they already know. That's quite curious there, that they would know because of body language, circumstantially. How do you look at
gossip?
There's always gossip. Yes, of course.
There's always gossip. You know, something may have been divulged behind the scenes. What it kind of refers to is that Aries has a tendency to, Aries doesn't like weakness. Okay. And it doesn't like showing weakness. And so if Aries is struggling with a problem, it doesn't want that to be broadcast in any sort of way, because it's a sign that really looks to itself to take care of the problem or to resolve the issue. And so what it's referring to here is that, you know, this might be coinciding with the period in which an old friend is coming back into your life, anticipating the Mercury retrograde, or perhaps the old friend has been brought in to talk to the Aries about this sort of a thing. And even though Aries is trying to sort of like hide the traces or not show that anything's wrong, what the stars are saying is that there's someone who's coming back into your life. Don't worry, they know, and you can actually let down your guard and you can share or divulge what's going on, so that you don't feel like you're so alone or have to handle this or wrestle this by yourself.
Okay, I will take that under advisement. And you're right. I mean, I actually agree with what you just said, is that when things are amiss, that myself and other areas of my acquaintance will try to say, you know, oh, everything's okay. And yeah, and just kind of not want to admit that there are things that are bigger than they can handle right in the moment.
Yeah. And it's so, a very stoic sign. Aries, yeah, is a very stoic sign. Yeah.
And I just learned recently in doing my own bit of research that the least number of people are born as Aquarians and the second least are born as Aries. And I thought that was interesting.
Well, you always count 9 months before.
Yeah, I did that.
and where'd you end up?
in the summertime.
Yeah, and that might not be when people are, you know.
Interested, yeah.
Yeah, you'll find that the most signs are Virgo, and if you count back 9 months, you get to winter.
January,
you
know, yeah. And winter's not much to do.
Well, or you want to get warm.
Right, right. Yes, no, I did exactly that. I did exactly that to figure that out. But I thought, how interesting, because I have so many Aquarians in my family, in my personal family, cousins and grandparents and, you know, aunts and uncles, and I can just count them, mostly cousins, a lot of Aquarian cousins. And I thought, how did I end up with so many in one family? But also I have, my sister is an Aries and my dad was an Aries. I was born on his birthday.
Oh, so, my goodness. That's wonderful.
So yeah, a lot of Aries and a lot of Aquarians in my family. And when I read that was where the least amount of people had their sun sign, I thought, well, that is very curious, just because.
Well, that just makes me more special than ever.
That's right. Okay. You know it.
But it's, I mean, that's fascinating that a lot of your life is populated by Aquarians. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens next year or three with everybody, because you've got Pluto in Aquarius and it's sextiling Aries. And in fact, that's the first aspect that was made this year. So this is why Aries are all of a sudden feeling very like, wait, is this like a new morning, a fresh beginning, you know, and it is because of that particular aspect.
I am bringing to my birthday, my Aries birthday in a couple of weeks, an Aquarian cousin that I have not seen in 39 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
So they already know what's going on there.
The Aquarians and the Aries are getting together, and we will take over the world, even though we are the smallest groups. I know that's not going to happen.
I'd like to, before we take our break, I'd like to read Leo and Virgo.
Okay.
So Leo, Friday, March 29, 2024, Christopher Renstrom writes, "You're tired of a colleague hogging the spotlight, but instead of feeling upstaged, why not take notes and learn from the best?" And Virgo, "Tell a friend or in-law that you'll be happy to lend them money again once you're paid back. You're not an ATM machine." When it comes to Leo, you know, Christopher, I feel like everyone learns from the best when it comes to hogging the spotlight. Ask a Leo. So, and if somebody's hogging the spotlight from a Leo, that's when something seems like a miss, because Leos, they love that attention. They love to shine.
Well, you can always up your game, Gary.
I definitely can. Being a Virgo, though,
that's in reference to the Leo horoscope. They can always up their game. In other words, instead of taking something in which someone's hogging the spotlight and you're getting your nose bent out of joint and all these sorts of things, maybe there's something you can do to up your game. Maybe there's something you could learn from this person who's coming in and hogging the spotlight. So it's actually about turning what could be something competitive into a learning moment or a teaching moment, you know, instead of feeling insulted or put out, you could actually learn from what this person's doing and apply it to your own life.
That's very good advice. Now that applies to Leo. When it comes to Virgo, telling a friend or in-law that you'll be happy to lend the money again once you're paid back, you're not an ATM machine. I think of, you know, looking at my own life history, it's not so much in my case. I mean, I know I'm not an ATM machine, but, you know, I've been in situations many a time where I felt like I was the soft touch in the room. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that's a Virgo characteristic, because Virgo sees itself as the sign of service.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it wants to help out. And also, there's always a teaching moment for Virgo too, which is like, if you borrow money from me, you know, and I give it to you, that's great. But you also have to learn that borrowing is also about paying back. So, you know, so Virgos might also take on this kind of like, this is how money works. You know, something that you teach maybe a 5 or a 7 year old, but sometimes you have to teach a 47 or 52 year old, you know, that's, there's a reciprocity, you know, that if you're going to borrow from someone, you make a point of paying them back. And when you pay them back, that means, guess what? If you're in a pinch again, or if you're in a rough spot again, you can go to that person for help, and that person will be like, oh, you paid me back, so here, I'll help you out.
Christopher Renstrom is our honored guest of the hour. We have more scopes to read and more astrological insights to mine with this honorable gentleman. He knows so much and he's willing to share. We're very glad that he is with us for the 29th time on Manson Mitchell. We will be right back. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Hi, everybody. This is Anson Williams from Happy Days, and I'm so excited to tell you about American Road. It is the best car travel magazine in the world. They have the most fantastic adventures detailed in each magazine with all your itinerary. We could just jump in the car with your family and have the most fabulous adventures you've ever had in your life. Please get a copy of American Road and start your own adventure.
Staying connected with Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell is easy. Just go to manceandmitchell.com for the latest info on topics and guests. Friend Gary Mance and Suzanne Mitchell on their Facebook pages and like the Mance and Mitchell show page at facebook.com/Mance and Mitchell. If you're on Twitter, share a follow with Gary and Suzanne at Mance Mitchell. Join Gary and Suzanne Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. for an unusual show that covers everything from personal growth to the paranormal.
Here's an amazing act. Here's a tremendous act. Here's a startling act. The amazing, the thrilling, the greatest, spectacular, incredible, exciting, wonderful, world fame, most unusual, novelty act.
The home of the A-Team of Alternative Talk is manceandmitchell.com. Heard right here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. or streaming live from your computer anywhere.
Terry Loving wants to help you with your online marketing challenges right now. She has several courses she is giving away to help you get your business working for you online. Yes, giving away. WordPress websites are her specialty, yet her technical skills go way beyond that. Check out her blog at terryloving.com or email her directly at terry@terryloving.com. That's terry@terryloving.com.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcome astrologer Christopher Renstrom as we look to planetary alignments and discuss horoscope information useful today.
On Saturday, Vincent Jenna is featured in an encore presentation of a powerful interview from the first week of this year. Definitely worth hearing again.
Bringing you mastery and mystery since 2007.
We are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Find out the latest about your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150. Check out 1150kknw.com.
Welcome back to Manson Mitchell and our very, very, very special guest, Christopher Renstrom, who is on for his 29th time as we are beginning our 18th year on air, which makes me feel very old. Christopher, if people would like to find out about your website subscription, the books you have out, I have both your books in front of me, and Gary and I are subscribers to rulingplanets.com, but let our listeners know not only about the books and how they can subscribe to your website, but also something new that you have going on that's very, very exciting.
Well, I'm super duper excited about that, if I can start with that. And that is, I've started my own YouTube channel, which is Christopher Renstrom Astrology. And I'm so super duper excited about it. I have the best creative director and the best producer in the world. And basically, each week will be a different sort of thing. One of the features is what planet is he on or what planet is she on? And it will talk about the ruling planet of the particular celebrity or historical figure. There's a monthly horoscope that's done for once a month. There are weekly horoscopes. And then there are also other features. Like we recently just did the astrological chart of Vincent van Gogh. And because of Neil deGrasse Tyson having done this little spot on Instagram that he did, the painting Starry Night, and he was looking at the moon and he was looking at Venus, and he said this painting could only have been painted on this one evening, you know, and he gave the date and the time and the location. So for the last part of the Vincent van Gogh show, I drew a horoscope for Starry Night, because anything born into time has a horoscope. And it was amazing. I was able to demonstrate to everyone how the horoscope of Starry Night connects to Vincent van Gogh's own chart and actually elevates him and pushes him on forward into the status that he has to this day.
Wow.
That's brilliant.
That, yeah, I like that. That's fascinating. Fascinating.
And we do love being subscribers too. It's a very rich resource, Christopher.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah.
Very yes. well maintained.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Rollingplanets.com is the website, and you can subscribe for either $1.99 a month or $22 a year. You get your daily horoscope. You get your weekly horoscope. You get something I call Cosmic Alert. You get a deep dive onto what your ruling planet is, which is the planet that rules your astrological sign. And it's basically your den mother, your patron saint, your corporate sponsor, life coach, all wrapped up into one. So you can learn about that. And then you also on your personal dashboard get access to all the videos as well. So it's a pretty busy and bustling site.
It is. It definitely is a bustling site and a lot of fun to go on there and learn things about astrology and your ruling planets. You also have a couple of books, The Cosmic Calendar, Using Astrology to Get in Sync with Your Best Life. Mm-hmm. That is very interesting because your focus is on ruling planets as opposed to sun signs, but the way you have the book structured tells me when is a good time for me to start projects, when is a good time for me to assess how the project went, when mm-hmm. is a good time for me not to start a project.
Exactly.
And to plan, you know, when is a good planning time? When's a good doing time? And that's all in the cosmic calendar. And then as we have talked about before with you, it's not just the sun sign, although that's where everybody goes because they know, hopefully they know when they were born. And right. so they know their sun sign. But we've also talked about the importance of rising signs and moon signs. And rise and shine is an astrological guide to how you show up in the world. And that's your rising sign.
Yeah.
Because that, as you said, is the face that everybody sees. I might be an Aries, but my rising sign is Virgo. So when people see me, they see less of the Aries, but they see more of this very organized, methodical person. Because as a Virgo, that's how I appear to people a lot.
And exactly.
So it's interesting too.
It may also be how you advertise yourself as well. You know, it's like, let me help you with this and let me, you know, be of service in some way. And your yes. Virgo rising will be like, oh, this is the most natural thing to do. But your Aries sun might be like, are we getting used here? Are we getting exploited here? Are you just going to volunteer and give this away to anyone, Suzanne? You know, so what can happen is that the sun and the rising sign can be on different pages with one another.
Yes.
And it not only adds depth, but also humor. And you know, sort of learn from those sorts of things.
You know, I wish you weren't exposing me so completely today, but again, <Sorry. laughs> that is me in service. You know, how can I help you? How can I help you? What can I do? And I'm out there doing stuff. And then I do get to a point where I go, why am I doing this? This isn't benefiting me. And then I suddenly feel like I need to back up a little. We got to back up this truck here because I've bit off a little bit more than I can chew. And I caught myself yesterday looking at a big project with somebody else. And I said, well, I could work on that. And then I stopped and I said, if I had help and maybe if I had two or three people, we could get this done. But I did not go to as far as to say I'll do the whole thing. So yeah, you know, there's that combination of Virgo and Aries.
Well,
go ahead.
What I was going to say very quickly is what people will notice when you know your rising sign is that that's the one that reacts first, and then your sun sign does.
Okay. See.
So that part
see
of
your rising sign first. Okay.
Well, it's the face of the chart. You know, it's the face of the chart. So it's always interacting like a face interacts, you know, the way you read the room or you're in conversation or, you know, you'd be feigning like I'm not bored, I'm really interested if you're really bored, or you might be like super, you know. So, so this is how we read one another, is through one another's rising signs.
You know, I have a feeling sometimes I may appear bored because of my Virgo face when I'm actually kind of excited about something, but it doesn't look like it. And that, that would explain that. It's like, I'm excited and you can't see it.
Virgos are the kind of furrow of the brow, like, what do I think about this?
Zodiac sign,
type of thing. And it's a lot of fun once you know your sun and your rising sign to see how they communicate together or don't.
Or don't, yeah.
I'm curious to know, Christopher, because it seems that it seems in the following way to me. I will find that as far as predictive astrology goes, things under my rising sign show up circumstantially in my life, situationally, before what appears in my life under my sun sign.
Yeah.
I've had that happen countless times. So I almost feel like I want to read my rising sign first when I read a horoscope.
It's actually a really good idea because you lead with the rising sign, you know, unless you were born at sunrise, in which case the sun sign and the rising sign are the same. But you lead with the rising sign. And there are some charts, like for instance, if you're born at sunset or late afternoon or early evening, it takes a long time for what's going on with the rising sign to transmit or communicate to what's going on with the sun sign. Sometimes if you're a sunset chart, you may feel more like the rising sign is you rather than the sun sign is.
Now that's interesting. I need to look at the times of birth of the people whose charts I have. I have a whole notebook full of charts of all the people I love and adore.
We have to sit down and get together and go through that notebook of yours, Suzanne.
Absolutely. Gary, more scopes. We can't let this man leave without the rest of the scopes.
Okay. Next up is Libra, Friday, March 29, 2024. Christopher Renstrom writes, "You're feeling bold and ready for something completely different. And it looks like the stars will come up with something made to order in the next 2 weeks." Scorpio, "The only way to get what you want is to follow the lead of someone you barely know. You don't trust easily, but now's as good a time as any to start." Sagittarius, "You're preoccupied today with everything you've got going on. Do an idiot check," idiot is in quotes, "do an idiot check before leaving any meetings or get-togethers so you don't leave anything behind." Capricorn, "You will soon receive an offer that will completely redefine the direction your life is heading in."
Woo! Yeah! That's what I'm talking about! That's what I'm talking about!
Attention, Denny!
Yes!
"You will soon receive an offer that will completely redefine the direction your life is heading in. You'll need to discuss this with family and friends." Aquarius, "Do what you can to wrap up unfinished business before April 1st. It will be even more challenging if matters are left hanging." Pisces, "As a Pisces, you get nervous whenever you draw the line because it feels so final. But in this instance, final is good." And we have covered everybody. This is, I'd like to bring up Aquarius, and you have a cousin you might want to contact in regards, Suzanne. Aquarius, "Do what you can to wrap up unfinished business before April 1st. It will be even more challenging if matters are left hanging." That seems characteristic of a Mercury retrograde anyway, and yet you put it pointedly under Aquarius.
Yeah, because at this period of time, there's this kind of shift or energy that's going on in the sextile between the Aries energy and the Aquarius energy. Aquarius is about to go into a very accelerated period. And so whatever you can do to sort of complete things, it impacts, as I said, certain signs get impacted more than others, but it impacts Aquarius more than others. But other signs can also take a cue from this. If you can finish things up before Mercury retrograde, it's excellent, because anything that is not resolved or left hanging could very well stay that way during the entire period of time. But that's good advice sort of in general. But for Aquarius, because of the situation with Pluto that's going on, that's something that they really, really want to take care of.
Thank you for that, Christopher. I'm sure the Capricorn in our midst is more than a little curious about his horoscope today.
Maybe.
Yes, thank.
I've been waiting so patiently.
Well, this references the upcoming eclipse in Aries. And so, as I was sort of mentioned before, each of the season signs, the signs that are associated to the beginning of the season, Aries is spring, Cancer is summer, Libra is autumn, Capricorn is winter, they're going to be impacted by this solar eclipse. And for Capricorn, this could very well bring a change in the direction of life, but it's more than just a little change. It could be something that could be much larger, maybe even an invite or an opportunity or a relocation. So when I said you may need to discuss this with family and friends, this may be, you know, I mean, it's one thing to be like, wow, a change, you know, and it's another like, wow, that's a change.
You know, that would really... I see. All right. I get it. All right.
So it's something to keep in mind as we get closer and closer to April 8th.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Christopher.
You're welcome.
All right.
I hope I'm not overstating something that I've noticed recently in your horoscopes, Christopher, but it seems like one of the bits of philosophy that you often insert into your scopes to give people life guidance indicates to me that at this point in time, and maybe it's good as a general principle, sometimes you need to detach and this isn't just you, this is you, me, everybody. It is good at times to detach and allow developments to unfold on their own. And it seems like you've been bringing that up a bit more than usual lately. And it was a very handy, very timely reminder for me that I don't have to rush in and fix things. I don't have to necessarily correct things by forcing matters. In fact, sometimes that's the worst thing I or someone could do in a given situation.
Right, right. What the big philosophy with astrology is to get each sign to work in alignment with the planetary energies as much as possible. And this was actually begun by Marsilio Ficino, who was a Neoplatonist back in the Renaissance. It was the idea that instead of stars running roughshod over your life or domineering your fate, you could align yourself by understanding the movements of the planets so that you were working with the energies that were coming into your life rather than being a slave to them, you know, being pushed or stymied or weighed down or, you know, uplifted all of a sudden, you know, instead of these things happening at you, you can participate with the planetary energy as it's coming into your horoscope. When we're coming into something like a solar eclipse, you always want to keep an eye out on things. And then when you're coming to a solar eclipse in Aries, as I said, Aries is about beginning, starts, urgency, and immediacy. That it's imagine having all of this caffeine. It just, you know, can suddenly go on through. Now, some signs live that way. And they're like, great, bring it on. This is, you know, I'm on top of the world. And some signs could become overwhelmed by that energy. You know, like, this is too much, or I'm too frazzled, or whatever. And some signs that have not been acting, you know, this eclipse is going to push them to act. And other signs who are convinced that this is the only way to go, this eclipse is going to say, working with the Mercury retrograde, look for another way to go. So it's so if you can sort of get that mindset with the stars, they can be extraordinary guides.
The other thing this reminds me of, Christopher, is some reading that Gary and I have been doing lately regarding time. And in our culture, especially in the United States, in our country, there is this idea of being very aggressive, like nothing will happen until I make it happen. And right. This idea of going out and doing. And, you know, what we've been reading about time is that man was not made for time. Time was made for man. This is so we can meet each other at the coffee shop at a particular time.
Right.
But that the idea about time is that there is a flow to it. And so we get this crazy notion that we're going to control it. We're going to make things happen. Things are going to go faster and better and bigger. And that's not always good. Sometimes right. You do need to allow things to flow. And in addition to raging rapids, there are little creeks and streams too. And, right. And so times to be fast, times to be slow, time to go forward, time to stand still. And right. And so in reading about this lately, this is giving me the sense of when you look at time as an eternity, it's not just, I need to rush and get this done today because this is the last day and I have to get this done. And oh my God, you know, right. Sometimes you can be living in time in such a way that you can enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. And should be, you know, many of the ancient philosophers talk about, there's this one, it's a Roman, but his name escapes me. He talks about the precious commodity of time. And it's a little essay that he wrote that Barnes and Noble sort of republished about maybe a couple of years ago in a little pocketbook or something. And he really talks about, this is ancient Rome, people rushing around, trying to curry favor, making friends with something, doing deals, all these sorts of things. I mean, it sounds like today.
Today, yeah.
You know? And he says, these things that you've got your hopes pinned on, these things that you hope will work out, do you understand how you are wasting the most precious commodity, which is your time? You know, and it's this extraordinary little booklet, but it's this extraordinary message from ancient Rome, you know, so it's been with us always. We think we're experiencing it for the first time with social media, and we are in a different way, you know, but it's still that idea. And Ecclesiastes, which is one of the books of the Bible that Ernest Hemingway openly says is one of the most beautifully written pieces of literature and influenced him, inspired him tremendously. But Ecclesiastes is all about that idea as well. And it's astrology is about living in time, really.
Yes, and you have said this from the beginning, for as long as we have had you on our show, you have said that astrology is a calendar. It tells you when to plant. It tells you when to harvest. It tells you, you know, when to go to war, and it tells you when to make peace. And then Individually, the same thing applies. Mm-hmm. Depending on what part of the year we were born in, then Those same things apply to us as people. We can't decide that everybody needs to be rushing around today. A few people can rush around. A few people can just sit and look out the window and watch the grass grow. So that time is very, very fluid. And I like the idea of using the astrology as a calendar to point me in the direction of what it is a good time to do now.
Yeah. I think it's Reinhold Niebuhr who says, you know, we're used to the idea of being born in time, but actually time is inside each one of us. And that's what your own personal horoscope is about. You know, it's not only do you have individuality based on the birth time and a chart being drawn for it, but time lives within you. So it's working with your own calendar, your own clock, ultimately your own mortality, you know, and this is what astrology can open up. And when you work in attunement with that, it becomes, in my experience, a more fulfilling life.
Thank you, because that's I think the place where we really need to end is that for whatever time that we are on this planet, let's make it fulfilling. Let's make it joyful. Let's make it happy. Let's make it worthwhile. Let's make it creative and fun,
right?
Instead of just a lot of work.
Let's have a good time.
Let's have a good time. And this weekend, there are Easter eggs and chocolate bunnies and all kinds of fun things. Peeps, all kinds of things going on.
Those peeps, they're back again. Those peeps are back again. They never leave.
We have a minute, Christopher. Give us a few handy tips on making it through the retrograde, the Mercury retrograde, unscathed, or perhaps there's a way that you can turn it to your advantage.
Well, if the computer's acting up, pay attention to it.
Thank you.
Schedule an extra 2 hours for things and schedule an extra 2 weeks when it comes to deadlines. Those things that you think are going to get done right away, you need to get done right away or whatever, something's going to show up in which it didn't necessarily need to be done right away. You're going to have to go back and rework it. My best advice for Mercury retrograde is 2 things. Keep your sense of humor handy, which I said before, but learn from it. Mercury's going to make you go back over the ground that you just tread, and maybe you overlooked something the first time that you'll recognize the second time when you go back over that same piece of ground.
Excellent advice.
Yes. Thank you so much, Christopher Renstrom. We love having you on and can't wait for visit number 30.
Me too.
And happy Easter to you, sir.
And happy Easter to you too. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday.